Welcome to Sustainable Sessions, hosted by yours truly, Lucas and Lauren. Episode 8, featuring Origins Project.
I'm Brady, I'm from Origins Project, and I'm 23 years old. Our main mission is adopting endangered animals and saving entire ecosystems, and we donate about 40% of profits to the World Wildlife Fund.
Awesome.
Cool. So out of all the different facets of climate change, obviously it's such a broad topic and there's so many different nuances to it. What made you get so passionate about saving animals and why did you choose to focus on that niche?
Absolutely. So when I was doing my research, I found there were a lot of brands already contributing back to like planting trees, that kind of thing, something easy to automate, but still super effective. And I found that so many facets of climate change will have very long-term impacts on us and the entire ecosystem. But right now, animals are suffering. So any type of immediate relief that we can provide will have an immediate impact. And that's what I was super drawn to this topic for. I was just like, okay, if I can donate money right now to save an animal who's in harm right now, then that just feels so much more gratifying. And I feel like I'm making just a bigger impact in that field.
Awesome.
Awesome. So I guess kind of to touch a little bit more on like the kinds of animals, how do you choose which ones that you end up saving, or like how does that process work in terms of like which ones you pick?
Absolutely. So I do some direct adopting, like I guess what's it called, symbolic adopting through the World Wildlife Fund, and from that I just do research in terms of who needs it the most at that given moment. But a lot of it at the time I just leave it up to the World Wildlife Fund, who are obviously experts in the field, to determine where the I guess resources go to. I use an automated app to my store that just pulls the funds directly from every purchase, so it's super easy to automate that and get it right to the cause. So it's kind of just me giving them money and letting them and the experts in the field decide where it needs to go the most.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's such a cool business. And like, obviously we've been following since early on you got into this, and it's really cool. And we really love what you're doing. I guess if you can speak a little bit to why you even got interested in a social cause. Obviously businesses are out, you know, to make money, but to some degree you've chosen to really dedicate a large portion of your cause to a social issue. Tell us a little bit about that and what it means to be working as part of a social venture.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in the past I've done many other ventures, and I found actually we obviously all have our own impact on the environment, mostly negative for the most part on a general consumer standpoint. And that is only amplified when you own a business. For example, I had a brand called like Deviation Apparel. It was like bracelet company, that kind of thing. And I wasn't even considering the environmental impact I was creating by like creating these plastic products, selling them at mass. And the company was doing great. I decided to shut it down because of how bad it truly was. I was just outsourcing from China, all the transportation costs to get it here from the environmental costs as well. And the waste that was producing, I was just like, wow, this is absolutely terrible. But I was still in love with the idea of owning a business and running a business. So I was like, okay, how can I combine these? Like, still be environmentally and socially responsible behind it and have it actually make an impact rather than negate from that kind of responsibility that I'm putting on myself. I'm sure you guys are in the same field with Last 20. I love what you guys are doing too. So how about you? What's your main cause and purpose behind that?
You can speak to it, yeah.
I guess more so like when I started learning about like the plastic pollution problem, I didn't realize like how many aspects it was incorporated into my life. Like I just remember like driving on the road and I would see like trash just like on the side of the road, and it just like really was like off-putting for me. And then the very first summer that we started our business, Lucas and I actually like would go around our community and like go pick up bottles, and they were all like just gross and disgusting, and like it just like put so much into perspective, and it really pushed us to keep doing what we're doing. So I guess kind of like once you see it and then notice it and you want to take action, I feel like that's when it kind of all comes together.
Yeah. Sure. And like, all three of us, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was even doing some research on it when I heard about your cause, and it's like such a low percentage of recycling actually gets recycled. It's like so mind blowing how much you can learn just by trying to educate yourself in the field.
Yeah, no, it's kind of scary. Like when you actually like go down the rabbit hole and like learn some of these facts, like I think even now, like it's been 3 years since we've known some of these scary facts, and like it still doesn't sit well ever. Like I think you just come to know it and you just kind of deal with it. But
and another huge thing too, like when I was first learning about even like plastic pollution in general, there wasn't even any of the statistics that we have out now. There wasn't anything probably like 2 or 3 years ago. So it's really crazy to see how it scaled so quickly. And it's like, okay, now there's like 300 million pounds of trash in the ocean. And it's like, well, where did all these numbers come from? Like, was someone doing this research the whole time? But kind of like what you were saying with the Wildlife Foundation, you're able to like talk to experts and you can see like people are putting time and resources into like finding solutions or even understanding the problem better, but there's still so much that we can learn. And like, that's the whole point of running this business and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the biggest things too, right? Like, so many people have a negative effect on the environment, but have absolutely no idea. Like, for me, for example, before I even started getting into this, I ate red meat daily. I drove absolutely everywhere I could, whether it was a block away or 10 kilometers, didn't matter to me at all. Recycled plastic, threw it out, didn't matter. So it's just about like taking that first step, educating on how you can be better yourself. And then in the lucky case that we are entrepreneurs, we can make it a bigger impact with that too.
Totally. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I think that's a great segue actually to kind of the next talking point. So we want to ask you, like, as you started this journey, and like you just mentioned, you know, you're constantly learning and trying to incorporate new things into your business. What kind of resources do you tend to, I guess, gravitate towards to get a lot of this information? Do you rely on like social media, webinars, books? Like, and if you can share to the listeners kind of what you use and what you recommend people who want to learn more about your niche, where they can go.
And would definitely just be the World Wildlife Fund's website itself. They have a blog, they have all the topics on which animals need the most. Definitely social, like across like TikTok or Instagram, anything like that. We can see so many good resources and people actually stating very factual arguments behind it. You'll always have those, I guess, skeptics, you can call them. But I guess those just pray for more of opportunity and entertainment than anything else. But I think that'll always be something there too, right? Is people who contrast your ideas and push back against it, no matter how much the facts are like right in front of them. So I think getting all on the same page is important, and resources like the blog on World Wildlife Fund or any social account that's dedicated towards like environmental health and safety, that kind of thing, and preservation is going to be amazing. And they're popping up. It's pretty inspirational. I actually work in the e-commerce field on the side too. So it's so cool to see all these new businesses popping up with social causes just like yours and mine. It's pretty motivating.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of businesses now too are trying to, I feel like before people were just kind of throwing in corporate social responsibility. It was just kind of like, okay, well, our company's doing this. So it kind of just made things a little bit better to mask what was like really going on behind the scenes. But now it's like people, like their foundation of their business is like built upon either a social or environmental cause that they want to solve. So I feel like that's more important, and as we're going forward and as more businesses are growing and scaling, like that should be like the main foundation.
Definitely. Yeah, I think there was the 1% back for the environment thing or something like that, which is, it's cool. It's better to see a bigger impact with that being like the main social driver too. So pretty exciting to see.
Sweet. Yeah. And like you said too, you had your previous venture, you're definitely an entrepreneur, you have entrepreneurial spirit and you want to make an impact. And it's awesome to see. For any young entrepreneurs that are kind of watching this or maybe skeptical about if they could start a business or want to kind of get into this, like what kind of advice could you give to someone who's maybe a little hesitant, or where can they kind of start to pick a problem that they want to work on, and how do they kind of build up a business from essentially nothing to making a large impact?
Definitely. So the thing I always tell myself is I'm never going to learn if I don't try. So no matter if it's an absolute failure, which I've had stores like that in the past, it just made no sales. And after a few months of trying, I just had to shut it down and I just scratched it up to a learning opportunity. So anyone out there who wanted to start a social venture or any type of business, it's really about just like digging in and committing yourself fully to that cause and to that store or at website, anything like that, and seeing what you can do with it. Try to have fun with it, do something you enjoy, or you're not going to stay with it. So for me, for example, I was able to automate and build my entire store in just a few months. So it's something that you can very easily get going. And with the internet and e-commerce the way it is right now, it's as simple as ever. So I'm sure you guys went through that with like Shopify and everything, building a store and just facilitating that process. It's quite simple, wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I mean, definitely a learning experience, 100%. But I think I agree. Like, it is something a lot more. You just have to spend the time and learn it, and just really dive head first into it. And I think
and there's enough tools like out there that you can navigate your way through it. And like you said, like there's no experience that you could get from like any job versus like running your own entire business and like seeing all the different components, like literally from accounting to like human resources. And like you're gonna meet so many amazing people along the way that are willing to help you grow and succeed. And I think that's like the biggest thing, like people want to see you do well. Like, it's, no one wants to see you fail. So even if it's a learning experience,
especially if it's for like a social or environmental cause too, right? So many more people in that field or who do charity work in that sector will be so motivated to help you achieve your end goal because it's not just like a only for profit type of orientation too.
Exactly. Yeah.
I guess kind of to like pivot things a little bit and kind of go back to your platform on TikTok. Maybe you can just talk about, because you have so many followers, maybe just like talk about like how you've grown and like the type of community that you've like been kind of seeing as you've been growing, and
like what the engagement's been like the
type of content that you're sharing with your viewers.
Definitely. Yeah. So I think it was back in early November when I had just launched the store. I had no idea how I was going to get traffic or get people interested in my cause. I listened to this podcast and it was, believe it or not, a beatboxer who said he like got a few million followers on TikTok really quickly, something like that, and how high engagement it was. And I was like, why not? Why not try it out? So I hopped on. I think I got in at a very good time when there was going to be a big wave of like new people. And it took me a little bit. It took me a few videos to get my first one to really go viral, but it was mainly oriented around my cause. I figured out this kind of formula that got the most like engagement, first being just like a very bold statement or fact about the industry itself. So like, for example, I don't know, like, yeah, any type of fact that's like, okay, there's only like 1500 panda or giant pandas left in the world right now. Something that's just going to grab their attention and be like, oh, wow, that's actually astronomical. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. What else about this? Then you get some like visual examples, give them something to relate to, an actual mission. So like, what am I doing to change it? And then a call to action at the end. So like follow, share, just get the engagement post out there. So that's the formula that I've just like rinsed and repeated, and it's really worked out well. And because it's a social cause, and it's another motivating factor is, because even though there is a younger audience on TikTok, people are so intrigued by the cause. I get like thousands of comments saying like, I love what you're doing, I want to support it, blah, blah, blah. So it's really uplifting to see that kind of community engagement and that almost like cult forming around the idea, because that just shows like 10, 20 years out, even when they get into like the full functioning adult territory, which we're, I guess, just entering now, they're going to have that kind of mind orientation around the issue and a deeper understanding, because we're presenting those learning opportunities earlier in life that I don't know if you have, but I definitely didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And even us too, like with like I like the term millennial is kind of where we're at. We're not quite Gen Z or quite, you know, but like we're kind of in that middle ground. I think it's a great opportunity for us, like you said, to really engage this younger audience at an earlier point. Like we didn't have social media when we were that young of an age, and then for them to just kind of click so well to an idea, whether it's a social cause or you know, supporting endangered species or plastic pollution, just understanding this at a young age can really shape who they become in the future. So yeah, that's really cool, and we love what you do. Like you're one of the first people that we got into that kind of been pushed us to go into TikTok as well. So it's been a great experience to watch you grow and to grow alongside you as well.
Yeah, thank you. I was gonna say, yeah, the platform itself like amazes me. I've never seen like such a quick growing platform that's so viral, and like it's pretty unpredictable in terms of videos. Like you can have a video that does like 500,000 views and all of a sudden the next one does 2,000. You're like, what is happening? But the overall structure is pretty interesting for like acquiring new perspectives and new people to care about your cause. So that's one of the most motivating things about it.
Yeah, I guess maybe could you talk a little bit more about like your engagement, particularly with like your followers and like things that you've done with them, or like, I don't know, like
what are some even common questions they ask? Like what are they like wanting to learn more and pry from you? Like I know you've even done like live streams as well. Like how have those been, and what are the kind of topics that come up?
For sure. Yeah, I definitely don't go as live as I used to like back in 2019. I want to do that more because it's such a good time to get some one-on-one with the, like, I guess your potential customers and the potential advocates for your brand. A lot of the time they don't understand what adopting means. They think I have like 1500 red pandas running around my house. I'm like, and like people get mad because they don't understand. They're like, okay, you're not actually adopting it. So just breaking down that entire like functionality behind, okay, no, I donate money. They symbolically adopt it, which means they restore their current ecosystem or try to a certain degree, or remove them from harm to put them in a better ecosystem that's thriving for them to live in. And once you can explain that more on a one-to-one basis, they absolutely love it, right? Because I don't think anyone would want like a red panda or a tiger in their backyard unless you live in Texas or something like that. Or maybe it's in Florida. I don't even know. But yeah, so that's probably the biggest thing. I've done some giveaways too, just to like adopting an endangered animal, people's names, just to get people engaged about it, sharing the cause, getting some virality around it as well.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it sounds like it's a great platform for us too. It's a good way to be transparent, like you said, so you can really explain the entire cause and the whole mission, especially if you're doing something. I wouldn't necessarily say what you're doing is like radically complex, but for someone who's relatively young, trying to understand things, you really get the chance to like explain it and break it down to them. And then once it clicks, it's like, oh my God, like I want to get full on board, and they become advocates, like you said. So,
and I think that's the biggest component to like the education piece with what a lot of like sustainability and environmental advocates are trying to do. It's like trying to break down like all those steps as to why you need to not be using a plastic water bottle, or like why you should like go thrift shopping versus like buying like, I don't know, synthetic textiles or something like that.
Yeah
A lot of it's habitual too, right? So it's like at an early age our parents take us to like new clothing stores, H&M and places like that, just to get new clothes, and we just get used to that cycle. We get used to like the dopamine rush of buying new things. So that's what we continue to do. And then human beings are reluctant to change. So that learning process has to be quite rigorous for them to actually make a difference and switch up their current state of mind. But I think the coolest part is that we are catching them at an earlier age. We're educating them about it. And I've had people in my DMs saying like, hey, I want to do what you do when I'm older. How do you do it? And it's such a cool feeling internally. It's just like, wow, like I'm actually motivating people to make their own difference and impact in the world too.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's really great. And I think, I guess, to kind of tailor things into the end of the show here, I guess if you can kind of say, where do you see your brand going in the next 5 or 10 years? Like if you want a forward look, like where do you guys hope to make more impact? You hope to expand a little bit more? Like what are your kind of goals with what you want to do with your life and how that translates in your business?
Definitely. So my main focus right now is scaling up to the point where I can actually make my process way better. So more like very reusable packaging. I want to incorporate recycled polyester into my clothing. So things could always be better than the current state, I find. And it's about just striving for those, recognizing what could be better and making a difference. Like nothing will ever be ideal. So that's just like my biggest thing right now, is trying to move to as sustainable a process as possible, and while still contributing a lot back to World Wildlife Fund or other type of, I guess, charitable donations that will make a difference in the endangered animal field. And yeah, from an expansion standpoint, I really like the online perspective. It's really easy. Everything's automated. It's really just about marketing, getting people involved, and you can't do that better than online, but I wouldn't be opposed to making a more physical store presence too eventually.
Cool. I think that's huge too, that you're also like looking at things holistically, because like we were saying even earlier with some of like the corporations and stuff, like they're not thinking about that entire like point A to point B, like how is this whole process sort of working. So I think it's cool too that you're even sharing that you do that, and that's something that we want to like incorporate as well as like into our business.
Yeah, definitely. I find it's like, especially when you get into the business world, I'm sure you two can agree, as business majors, dollars and cents matters a lot. So when you're trying to convince another business who's been a certain way for so long to preserve profit margins or to make their investors happy to change things up and spend maybe a little bit more to make their business more sustainable, that can be difficult because people have that cognitive dissonance of like, I don't want to change. I want to make as much money as possible. So just detracting from that a little bit and injecting more of the like long-term, I actually care about where I live, into their supply chain can make all the difference.
Totally. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing session. You've explained so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on board. I guess to kind of wrap things up, if you want to kind of leave our viewers with a favorite stat or statistic or something.
Like a story from your business.
Just something cool that you want to just leave them off with, just to kind of a final punch about who you are and what your business is all about. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. So it starts off a little bit on a sadder note of things, but essentially, when I was starting and I was doing the research for the business, I found out that at our current rate of mammal extinction, we will not be able to recover our evolutionary diversity for 5 million years.
Oh my God.
So it's pretty insane about the path we're going down. And that's why I founded Origins Project, to hopefully change that and at least inspire other businesses to do so as well, because there's no way I'm going to be able to do this on my own.
Wow.
Beautiful. Hopefully we can inspire some other people to hop on board and hopefully start their own business, or even get involved in your business if that is something too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you would like to learn more, visit us at www.last20.ca. Until next time, stay sustainable.